Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today's episode is an interview with Luisa Novo. Now, there's actually a long, almost three-year history for this podcast, but I'll talk about that after you hear the interview. Let me just inform you that Luisa is a wonderful filmmaker. She's actually a repeat offender. She had the film Becoming Lucy in Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2017, and then she was an official selection with her film The World Inside that she shot down in Brazil at Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2020. So she was at Film Invasion LA in 2017 and 2020. So she does wear the honorable crown of a repeat official selection filmmaker. And if you want to see the film Becoming Lucy, just go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and she is in Season 1, Episode 10. After the interview, I'll tell you about the almost three-year process of getting her on the podcast, and I'll also talk about the film festivals a bit more. But for now, let's hear from Luisa.
I'm from Brazil, and I went to school, to college there for cinema, in a school called Universidade Federal de Santa Catarina. In Brazil, it's a little different than here. Like, our universities are, the very good universities are public. They're not private like here. So I went to a public university for my bachelor's degree. And to be honest, I just really loved watching movies. Like, I would just go to, like, our local, we didn't really have Blockbuster, but we had just, like, local video stores. So I went there and, like, rented five DVDs at a time and just spent all the time watching. I watched it anything.
That was as a kid or?
I guess a teenager more. Yeah. And I watched it all TV shows, like Friends, like, it's still one of my favorite shows. And then when it was time to choose my major for college, which is also different from here, the application system is kind of an SAT for each college. Like, you choose the college you want to apply to, the major you want to do, and then you take a test.
Right, so it's more specialized.
Yeah, and then you take a test for the specific course at their specific university. So you can have like 10 tests a year if you apply to different universities, right? And so you're only competing with the people that want to do that course.
Right, right.
Yeah. So like cinema and the university I did end up going to was like, I think 30 spots every year. And so I was only competing to the people applying for that. But I think I even, like, I did some tests for, like, journalism and, like, publicity and marketing. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew it was a math. My parents are engineers by degree. My brother's a civil engineer. And I was the one that, like, had nothing to do with that. And my mother was the one that, she said to me, you like movies so much. Why don't you go study cinema? I was like, really? It's just like, because the course had just started at university. I was the second class.
Okay, and so it was new.
Yeah, it was very new, at least in that university. And my brother was already studying there because we went away. We didn't stay in our hometown. So she's like, well, two birds with a stone. Like, you can, like, go to the same city your brother is and you study something else. Like, well, let's see. Like, I took so many tests in many different. Like, we'll see which one I get into, right? It's going to be decided for me. So I kind of got accepted in two different ones. This one. And then a private one that's for marketing. It was a little expensive, but it was the one of the best in the country. I was like, now what do I do? I even went so far as to, like, pay a little bit that I could get. I got refunded for that, but, like, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do.
You were about to go to the other one.
Yeah, because that acceptance sort of came first, right? I was in the waiting list for the other one because I didn't get, like, in the 30 slots. So I was, like, 32 or 33.
Right.
So I had to see who many would actually, how do you say?
Yeah, attend.
Enroll. Yeah. Who would enroll, because you had to enroll. And then they start calling the wait list. So, but that's where I ended up. And I studied cinema there. I really didn't know classics at all. I learned all of that in college. Even, like, I think I watched 2001 for the first time in my first year. I was like, I don't understand this. Why do people like it so much?
Right. So it was a program that focused on the studying film as well as production.
Yeah. It was, because it was new, they had, like, some deficiency in, like, equipment and the technical part. So it was really more theory. Like, I had theory of film, criticism, film analysis. a lot of screenplay theory. We study screenplays from like read Aristotle, read all of that theory. I did do a film, a short film for my thesis. That was the first short film I ever did. But then I just felt that I missed out on the technical stuff, the hands-on, and that's why I chose to come here. I had a friend that came to the New York Film Academy screenwriting, certificate, 1 year certificate. And I asked him, how was it? And he like said good things about it. And I researched on the internet. They were like really hands-on. Like you film like 8 films a year and like. Yeah,
production heavy. It's
super production
practically
heavy.
Practically a trade school in a way. Yeah.
And I was like, I want to, because I didn't think I learned that. So I decided to come here only for 1 year at first. And then when you come in a student visa, you get an optional practical training year after you graduate, which you can choose to do. So you get approval to work for a year in the area you study. So I did that. So I worked for a year. I did a lot of internships, more on the development side, because I just didn't know anything about the business, really.
Right. So you were working in production offices, reading scripts and stuff.
Oh, my God. So much coverage of scripts. I never did so, like, crazy. Some got made eventually. Some that I didn't like got made. Some that I did like didn't get made. So
you must have been in a pretty good offices that they actually ended up getting made.
Yeah. There was one from Bob Odenkirk. Not that production company didn't make another production. Made it, and I guess like the more you have connections, the easier it is to get your project made. And it's not that it was a bad script, Bob Odenkirk. If you listen to this,
I love him. He's great.
Yeah. So it's not that it was a bad script, but you need to weigh in everything, like why this needs to be made, right? And there was another one that I still haven't watched. I highly recommended it, and it got made by another production company as well. So I did a lot of that, and I realized that's not what I want to do. I don't want to work in development.
Because you'd made a film in university, and then you'd come out and done a ton in that year at the Film Academy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did have a thesis and 2 other shorts that I directed and, like, many other exercises.
Yeah.
So I decided I wanted to finish a master's, like, actually get a master's degree. Because if I did end up going back to Brazil, a master's helps you be eligible to teach at universities, right? You can't really do that without a master's degree. So I applied to a few schools, got rejected, and then I was like, why don't I just go back to NYFA? Because the first year I did was like the same curriculum, so I just needed to complete the second year.
Right, so you were halfway to your master's.
Yes, exactly. So I'm back to NYFA, finished the master's, and that's my thesis was Becoming Lucy for my master's. And then I did another year of OPT, which was 2017. The year the film was in the festival. And then I had to make a choice. I needed to either get a different visa that would allow me to work here or go back to Brazil. So I kind of did both. I went to Brazil waiting for the visa and then kind of stayed there the whole year waiting for this visa process. Got my visa at the end of the year and came back now in January.
Excellent.
So that's the whole story.
And when you decided... So when you decided to leave the development world and get the master's. After the master's, you ended up going back to Brazil soon after? Or did you get some... Because you mentioned working on set a bit.
Yeah, so actually I got another OPT optional practical training. So I graduated in 2016. So all 2017 was work. And I did work on sets. Like I was like, this is what I want to do. I like assistant directing, so I'm working towards, besides directing, that's what I want to do.
Right. So, yeah, because there's a lot of ADs are needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I worked a lot on sets on, like, bigger stuff and got a lot of good real-world experience. Then I went back to Brazil, and I did another short there with my friends. I was like, I don't know how long I'm here, but let's do something. I got together with friends from college, and we got together and shot a short. It's not ready yet. It's almost done.
It's not ready. Okay.
No, almost done.
That's obviously the next question.
Yeah.
Well, so now we actually jumped all the way over Becoming Lucy.
Yeah.
Which I watched again this morning, so I could talk to you about
okay.
it. But so it was for your... certificate.
Master's, yes.
Yeah, it was part of the master's, right? It was the first year or
no,
the second
year? No, it was the second year.
Oh, yeah, it was your master's thesis.
Yeah, it was my master's thesis, yes.
Right.
Correct.
So where was the inspiration from?
So I actually had another idea that I used for the other school's master applications that my screenwriter teacher really liked, but when you need to pitch your idea, right, to like these teachers, they're going to tell you if you can do it or not, they really didn't like it. They didn't understand the character's motivation, didn't understand what the story was about or anything. So it's like, okay, great. And I was developing that. I had a script, like a draft. And then I had, at one point, it was like, you have a deadline. You need to present another idea. And I had just watched a movie where this character stood out. Like, the mother had just been left by the father. And then this teenage girl was just, like, kind of on her own. Because her mom was really, really depressed. So that stood out to me. I said standard. That's not correct English. So I just had that in my head, I guess. And I just sat in front of my computer and had to come up with an idea. I don't really know where the dyeing your hair idea came from. I still don't know. It just came to my head.
But you were thinking about a young woman coming of age and just dealing with issues of self-image.
Yeah. So a lot of my movies are about that. I have a movie called Self-Image, which is just literally this woman, which was my non-sync, so I had to create a story with no dialogue. And it's this woman that goes on a date, and she misinterprets, like, him and the waiter that brings the bill. Like, she misinterprets some signs, and then she goes home, and the guy, she keeps waiting for his text, and she self-harms, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of my films are about that for some reason. And I don't know if I was looking to write a coming-of-age story because the previous idea was not really. So maybe it's just the way my mind works, just floating up there.
Yeah, actually, well, one of the questions I was thinking of asking was, Do you sit and write very often, or are you always thinking of ideas for films?
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you do seem more focused on the...
Yeah, direct. I don't particularly like writing. It's very...
And they don't let you take a screenwriting student's short script and make it for your thesis?
I could make it for my thesis, but I'll still have to write one, even if that's not the one I shoot.
Really?
Because it's two different things. You need to know how to write a script. That's one of the things you need to learn in school. So I don't know if I could have shot somebody a script. That's a good... But I would definitely have to write a script.
It's interesting to me because obviously being able to take a screenplay and read it and interpret it as a director, that's really the skill. It's always funny to me that they force people to write and direct.
I guess because it's called filmmaking. It's not directing masters, maybe.
I guess.
Yeah. And I don't like to write. I don't want to be a writer director, but I was very important for me to learn.
Yeah. So the film you made down in Brazil.
I wrote it.
Well, you're a good writer. I mean, Becoming Lucy, one of the things I love about it is I really feel it's such an honest view of that teenager's perspective. I kind of almost feel like you put us inside her, like the whole world is her point of view. You're not showing the mom objectively or the dad, you know, everyone is the way she sees them.
Yeah.
Even the friends, right? Even the friends and the other girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost hyper-realistic.
It is what I wanted to do, but you'd be impressed of the stuff that people kept telling me about my other stars. Oh, your characters are too passive. So everything is a learning curve, right? I went very consciously, this character needs to make a choice, needs to, like, have more an active arc.
Right, yeah. She has to be the master.
Yeah.
She has to be making, taking action.
Because I have had films and wrote stories that stuff happens to my character, and I got a lot of feedback that you'll be better if they were active. So Becoming Lucy was like a script that I knew I needed to do that, like a character that even though she had these issues, she was going to take matters into her own hands and not waiting for stuff to happen to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so it's well written. Even if you don't love writing.
Thank you.
And so what are you planning? What's the future holding? So you made it, you came back.
Yes.
And I don't know if I helped, but I was happy to help every time you asked for something with the visa.
Yes.
The visa, it always makes me angry when I see people on TV talking about how easy it is getting in this country.
Somebody says that?
Yeah, they always say it on the news. And it's so funny because my ex-wife, who's still a good friend, she had a fiancé who lived outside this country. Took her 2 years to get him in here.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And then she broke up with him. But still, I shouldn't make you laugh while you're drinking coffee.
That's
sorry.
Okay.
But, I mean, I know how hard it is. And then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting political with the people who whine about open borders. But, you know.
That's okay.
But, so you had to deal with our immigrant, even though you went to school here and worked here for well over a year after, it was still a challenge for someone to come here and contribute to the American economy.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what is the film industry like down in Brazil? Now Netflix
and these other players are coming down hard on Latin America, so they're setting up like a lot of original Latin productions. So it's getting better in that sense. There's more work. Like France and a lot of other countries, we rely a lot on public money and like incentives and subsidies to make stuff. So these new players are like expanding the industry. But then our president is really anti-culture, and he's just like canceling all those public policies that we depend on.
A right-wing guy just
we
came
do
in.
Have a right-wing guy that is really into censorship, like if he doesn't like something. So he's saying he's just going to cut funding because we shouldn't be giving money to do this kind of films or whatever. It's probably not even true, right? He just doesn't want to give money to culture because it's a lefty thing.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. They always go after the schools and the arts.
Mm-hmm. True. He also cut funding to public universities. Yeah. A lot.
You don't want people well-informed.
No, you don't. The more they think, the more they rebel.
This is absolutely true. I guess that's a subject for a film someday.
Yeah, many films.
Many films.
Yeah.
Well, so cool. So you're back, and now what are you up to?
So I did just shoot a short that I didn't write, my first one. In July, it's from an actor, because also from NYFA. And NYFA, the actors have to write and produce their own shorts. Why? Who knows? So they hire directors and EPs and blah, blah, blah. So I got hired to direct the short that were also like in post-production right now. And it was a really cool experience. I learned learning because the film is not ultimately mine.
Yeah, you were brought in.
Yeah, and it's also different. Like, even if you're a director for hire on, like, movies, you still have a lot of say and, like, creative vision. It's not that I didn't, but it's ultimately her movie.
Yeah, you have, there's a producer who hired you, and you are answerable to that producer.
Yeah, so it was a lot of collaborating, which was very interesting, very cool. And I learned a lot about how I don't have all the strings to pull, like I kind of am one of the strings, so I have to adapt to the situation. But it was cool, and I like the result a lot.
And you got to focus more on the directing, right? You didn't have
because
with your other stuff, you were probably basically executive producer and financer. So you had to keep your eye on
find locations. I didn't have to worry about any of that. It was really cool. We worked with a really cool DP called Sam Chatterjee. He's from AFI, an alumni. So it was really, really, really cool. And then the next project...
And by the way, I want to jump in and say it's kind of impressive that you got that, because I'm sure that actor producer could throw a rock and find 20 friends who would want to direct.
I think she liked my reel. Her story is about this girl that wrote a novel, and she works at this bar. She's like doesn't have money, so she pitched this novel a bunch of times, and then she got this producer to meet her for a second time. So it's a very short, just about her meeting these producers, and they like telling her story is not going to sell, that she should give up, and then she starts remembering herself as a kid and a spelling bee, like how bad she was at spelling bee, but she didn't give up because that's what she liked to do. So I guess it does have a lot to do with all the films I did, like with the self-doubt and the self-image. Yeah. And like,
but also she must have looked at the work you did and seen that you have a really good eye and you're really good at being being true to your characters. Mm-hmm. Although I've only seen the one film, but I believe it's probably representative since it was your work top to bottom.
Yeah, she liked what she saw in my reel. She liked the types of shots, and it does fit within the stuff I've done. And we got along really well together.
Because one of the things I am interested in your four questions answers because I the way Becoming Lucy's directed too, you know, and knowing it was a thesis, sometimes people in the thesis, they're like, okay, I'm going to try to be a little, sometimes the director interferes just to try to show off things they can do with the camera and prove, yeah, I learned, you know, and you, I think you do a really good job of just communicating the story and getting us inside the character's feelings without jumping in the way and saying, hey, look, I'm directing a movie. You know?
I am really bad at cameras. I have taken more than once the same camera class, even back at university in Brazil, because it just doesn't compute. Like, I understand the general gist of it, but like the specifics, I'm not a camera person,
right?
So I have to rely a lot on my DP.
So you're more about the performance?
Yeah, I do see it in my head, and like I do have a say in the composition of the shots.
Yeah.
But like, especially lighting makes all the difference in photography. I'm never gonna tell you how to light. I'm gonna tell you like my inspirations and like watch this movie. It's more like of this feel. But
I think that's how most directors work, is they, you
some
know,
of
you,
them
you,
choose
you,
down
you
to
you
the
share.
Lens. If they are camera oriented, they will choose the lens. And I'm like, I will say, oh, I just wanted like more of a telephoto here for this reason, blah, blah, blah. But I'm never gonna tell the lighting. Like lighting, and I'm not gonna tell you which lens is better because I don't know. Like, I just keep hearing Cook lens, they're really good. And I was like, okay, sure. Don't know what that means. But for this movie, actually, was also the first movie that I consciously wanted a more free camera. So we did all in an easy rig. Because if you see all my previous films were very locked off cameras. Mm-hmm. Very different style. And I said, I want a different film in this movie. So actually, two references that I had was It Felt Like Love from Eliza Hittman. I don't know if you saw it.
I don't know.
It's like a coming-of-age story, like in, I think it's Brooklyn, New York. And this director has a lot of those type of movies. Her last one was Beach Rats. So it's all about teenage, like coming-of-age, sexuality, relationships, friendships, all of that. And it's very free camera. And if you hear her speak about her movies, she improvises a lot. She's more, she like works with actors a lot. And like unknown actors, which I don't think I'm quite there yet, to get like that performance out of them. And the other reference I had was Breathe, which is from Melanie Laurent. Do you know the actress from Inglourious Bastards, the French?
Yes.
Yeah. So she also directs.
I was on a plane with her once. I was
really?
So excited. Yeah.
That's awesome. So her movie Breathe, which is about these two girls and different maybe friendship, and is one of them kind of has feelings for the others, and this the other is a little bit abusive in my opinion, but it's the feeling like how she portrayed these characters and the camera work. So the camera work from these two films were really my inspiration. So I really wanted to be on her perspective and have the camera move freely in this movie.
Cool. Well, it sounds like the university experience of studying film theory, and really it seems like you're very observant. Like when you watch a film, you're taking a lot in.
Sometimes more than I should when I'm watching for the first time. I'm paying way too much attention to the shots, which I should not. Take it in.
No, you can. You're seeing the technicals.
Yeah, but then I miss the experience. There should be a second view.
There always has to be. No, yeah. There was a time many decades ago when I was screenwriting so much, and I went to a movie, And as the person spoke, I actually saw the words sort of being typed.
Uh-huh.
Like I actually visualized script instead of paying attention to the movie. It's like our minds really get trapped in what we're doing.
Yeah. And if you watch a movie for those things, I'm like, I always notice, why did you put the camera there? Why? And yeah.
Or like with the film Breathe you mentioned, you said, oh, I love the what you did with the camera.
Yes, I did love. Yeah. And it's just like about this movie's about these girls and what it feels like being a teenager with all this stuff inside your head. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, I love coming of age. I love the films that take place during the teen years. I always thought teenagers...
Booksmart was so good.
Oh, I wanted to see. I didn't...
Heaven?
Well, we have an 11-year-old, so all I see is the movie she wants to see.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe 11's
was
a little
mature for her.
Maybe.
That was our understanding.
Maybe. Yeah. Even though, you know what? I was very young when I watched Superbad, so... Not that's a good thing. Just saying. I watch it all sorts.
As far as I can tell, it didn't ruin you.
No, it didn't.
I don't think any film can ruin people. She still covers her eyes when Captain America, or when they kiss
violence.
A girl.
Oh, they kiss a girl.
Oh, violence doesn't bother her, but kissing is gross.
That's, which is weird, isn't it? How we are so...
She's a real American.
Yeah.
I know, I used to worry about violence and stuff, but I think...
We're too used to it. It's pretty... I shied away watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. When he got, have you watched it?
Yeah.
When he got really violent, I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, that big climax ending was.
Yeah, I don't like.
It was comically brutal.
Yeah, but like the head of the woman was extra on purpose.
Into the brick or,
yeah, it was so many
into
times.
The phone, yeah,
she's dead already. What are you doing? I could not watch it.
Yeah, it's just very Tarantino.
Yeah,
that sequence.
But a lot of people wouldn't mind. They are very desensitized to violence that way.
Oh,
yeah.
Now I must confess that I'm so desensitized that I just found it comical. Like, I thought it was almost like I thought it was sarcastically violent.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, clearly, I mean, it got to the point of the flamethrower. I'm like, this is, it's so violent, it's silly.
Yeah, but I guess the problem with me is the camera is on her face.
Yeah, no, because you're seeing it for what it really is.
He wants it to see.
In reality, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. So my next project is actually a web series, workplace comedy, which I haven't done before, so I'm very excited about and terrified at the same time.
Terrified because of the length of it, doing episodic?
Terrified about everything. First, comedy. I haven't done comedy yet. I guess there's one short film, Food for Thoughts, that's a little comedic. The one before Becoming Lucy that I did. But it's still not comedy, right? With like jokes and puns and all of that, which I'm an avid consumer of comedy. Like I watch a lot of comedy. But it just has never been the type of stuff that I write, which I've only done stuff that I write. So I'm terrified because I have a lot of work to do to like get it done right.
And when you say that, does that mean you're going to do your rewatch your favorite comedies?
Yes. I'm going to do a lot of research. I have been watching The Office a lot in Community, which is the feeling, cause this is a web series my friend wrote. We have been collaborating for a while. Like he sends me the scripts, I give him notes, but it's like, it's his story, his vision. And I'm going to direct cause he doesn't want to direct. So we already did some casting. We cast the main character and we're on the middle of finding money for it. And we might have to do some crowdfunding. We don't know yet because we want to shoot in December. So it's coming up fast.
Oh my God. December will be here soon, won't it?
Yes.
I don't even want to think about that.
Yes. The 2019 is almost over.
I know. It's August. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's still summer.
Yeah, the summer came a little later this year.
It was very disappointing for me.
Yeah, I know. I love the summer.
Yeah, I love heat.
Yeah. But maybe it will stay longer. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, so with the comedy, are you, you know, now that you're back in Los Angeles with the helicopters, now that you're back in Los Angeles, like, are you, your friend, the person who wrote it, like, are you going to some improv performances and stuff to get a feel for comedy?
Maybe
people.
I should.
Maybe,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So far, I've only just watched it, and I intend to like actually read the script and see how it translates on the screen. And he has done stand-up comedy before.
Yeah.
And he will definitely be on set. He has a lot of saying, like,
and he's not dialogue. Performing in it?
No, he's not performing in
wow,
it.
Wow, so he's not casting himself. So that's
no,
that's...
I don't think he has any... Maybe he had in the past, but he's more of a writer. He just wants to be a writer. And I think it's... I love the characters. I love the world. I love the script. So I'm very excited to do it. But it's been, like, a long time coming. Like, we have been all this year, like, really gearing
yeah.
towards making
well,
that.
Tough. It's tough.
It is tough.
How many episodes are written?
12.
12,
which
right.
is a lot.
Are they how long?
7 minutes, 7 pages
12,
each.
12, seven, yeah.
So it's almost a feature. So
it is a feature.
Yeah.
It's 84 like, minutes is a feature.
Yeah. It's a lot. So that's another terrifying thing. Because the more shoot days you have, the more money it costs, the more... Everything. So we have plan A and plan B to like just shoot the first three episodes if it comes down to that. If we don't really have the. So we'll see how. But we're making it somehow.
And it's great. It's yeah. wonderful to hear that you're still staying at it and you're working.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I meet people in the industry, like bigger people and agent people and everybody, they say to directors, we'll find you. Like. It would be very hard unless you have a feature or you have like something to show for to get an agent. Like, unless your short was in Sundance and got the biggest buzz around, you're a director, you're not gonna get an agent. So you just need to keep doing your thing by yourself.
Yeah.
Meaning
yeah,
the people,
much.
Yeah, that want to collaborate with you, they want to make it with you and just keep doing it. And on the side, you work on the other things you like ADing or any other things.
And that was Luisa Novo, definitely one of my favorite filmmakers. At the time of the interview, I hadn't seen her follow-up film, The World Inside, because it wasn't completed yet. But I have since seen it. And let me just run over the timeline, because this is kind of funny. I think it's funny. Maybe this is just for me, but when I started the podcast, I contacted her about doing it. That was February of 2018. She was eager to do it, but she was down in Brazil and she was working on getting a visa to return. And she said, let's wait till I come back to LA and we'll do it in person. And that sounded like a great idea. So we waited. And then finally, 1 year and 6 months later, she's back in LA. She comes over. We record the podcast in person in August of 2019. But the Sherman Oaks Film Festival comes up right after that, and I'm super busy for many months. And then right after that, when I thought I was going to catch up on podcasts, had a lot of stuff to deal with my parents being both taking turns being hospitalized. Not fun, not a good topic. And that went on forever, and then more came up and another festival and this and that. And so now, remarkably, 1 year and 3 months after recording the interview, it's going online. So for me, this podcast, I invited Luisa to come on the podcast in February of 2018, and it is hitting the stream in November of 2020. So by my math, that's basically 2 years and 9 months. That probably bored the heck out of everyone. My apologies. Very self-centered to share that all. Let me share what I need to share, which is Discover Indie Film is this podcast. A TV series was born out of it, and Luisa Novo is a part of it. So go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, watch all those great films. It's an anthology of short films of the filmmakers who've been on the podcast. Luisa's film, Becoming Lucy, is in Season 1, Episode 10. And I'm certainly hoping that her wonderful follow-up film, The World Inside, will be in a future season of the TV series. And if you're really wonderful, you'll go to Amazon.com after watching some episodes and give it 5 stars on Amazon.com. You would be a rock star if you did that. And I did meet Luisa because her film Becoming Lucy was at Film Invasion LA in 2017. So I should mention Film Invasion Los Angeles is a festival that comes up every June. And if you want to learn more about it, go to filminvasionla.com or on social media, go to @filminvasionla. And every November, there's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that I'm the programmer of. You can learn more about that at shermanoaksff.com or on social media. Just use the handle @shermanoaksff. Okay, I think I'm really in danger of having a longer intro and outro than the actual interview. Okay, I doubt anyone listened this far. Talked way too long. My bad. But I want to thank Louisa for coming in and doing the interview and for being really patient about how long it took me to get it online. And I want to thank you for listening. If you're still listening, send an email to info@discoveryindiefilm.com and you're going to get a prize. Yeah, a prize of some sort you're going to get. Thanks for listening.